In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
No faith justifies these murderous and craven acts. No just and loving God looks upon them with favor. For what he has done, we know that the killer will be met with justice in this world and the next.
This bill is the most direct assault on the Hyde language we've had since 1997. Let us stand together on principle of no public funding for abortion, no public funding for insurance policies that pay for abortion.
If enacted, this amendment will be the greatest restriction of a woman's right to choose in our careers. Would we expect people to buy supplemental insurance for cancer treatment? Like it or not, this is a legal medical procedure.
You'd say to the atheist, okay, pal, do you believe there's life after death? And the Richard Dawkins would say, no, I'm confident there isn't. And you say, but how do you know? What information do you have that the religious believer doesn't have?
Well, the big story, of course, in Washington is still how the Democratic leadership in the House is reeling from an amendment that managed to make it through in health care reform. I think perhaps they may have underestimated the resolve of House Democrats, pro-life Democrats, on that very issue. And we're going to be talking about it for the first 10 minutes of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, the 11th of November. Mark Strickerts joins us, author of the book, Why the Democrats Are Blue. Then for the remainder of this first hour of the program, we'll talk closed communion. If it sounds like an unfamiliar term to you, stay tuned. We'll explain it. Sounds like a negative thing. Some people perceive it to be a negative thing. It is, in fact, not just a church's policy. It is a biblical injunction, and it is the loving thing to practice, closed communion. Pastor Ernie Lastman will join us of Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle a little bit later. Then in the second hour of the program today, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us to kick off that second hour. We'll talk about Roman Catholics and health care reform. A little bit later, Pastor Heath Curtis will help us remember on this day, 4th century bishop, theologian, and veteran, by the way, Martin of Tours. He left the battlefield to serve Christ rather than Caesar. Kathy Hamlin of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide will join us to talk about suicide seminars being conducted in the U.S. by Australia's Dr. Death. We'll find out who he is and what he's up to here in the U.S. Then Chaplain Jonathan Shaw will join us to talk Veterans Day on this Veterans Day. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Mark Strickerts is a journalist in Washington, D.C. He's author of the book, Why the Democrats Are Blue, Secular Liberalism and the Decline of the People's Party. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on, back in on, Todd.
Do you think that the House leadership, the Democratic leadership in the House, underestimated the resolve of pro-life Democrats last weekend?
No. This is an expression you should tell your family members over Thanksgiving dinner if they're criticizing politicians, and that's that politicians are dumb, but they can count. Meaning, the House leadership, they knew that the pro-life Democrats would stick together. I mean, Nancy Pelosi would never have allowed the vote. She's got a 100% down-the-line pro-choice voting record. But she knew and saw that the pro-life Democrats were sticking together, and they forced her hand. I mean, as late as about Friday night, Saturday morning of last week, pro-choice members had lobbied her to not allow a vote on this two-pack amendment, but the pro-life Democrats stuck together, and her hand was forced. Now, whether she thought they would is a different matter. You'd have to really ask Pelosi, but Pelosi bowed to the strength of the of the pro-life Democrats.
Mark, when before have we seen pro-life Democrats exercise this kind of solidarity in the face of the leadership?
That's a good question. There hasn't been anything anytime soon, nothing in the past couple of decades. I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that voting to oppose any government funding of abortion, whether it's direct or indirect, is a fairly easy vote for most members of Congress. Now, it's the issue of whether abortion should be legal or not. In many circumstances, that's a tougher vote for a member. So opposing funding, I mean, that issue can unite not only the pro-life Democrats because they care about the unborn, but also Republicans who just don't want to pay, fiscally conservative Republicans who just don't want to pay for the procedure. They might be moderately pro-choice, but they think that women should be able to pay for that on their own. So that's just an easier vote. It's really, it's called sometimes in the press, in the trade, a 55-45 or 60-40 issue. It's an issue where the vast majority of the public is really on your side. It's just that in the press accounts, they just think, well, this is a typical abortion vote, and they don't distinguish between funding votes that want to bar funding of abortion versus just making the procedure illegal.
Well, the opponents of the STUPAC amendment claimed that that amendment would further restrict, go beyond the Hyde Amendment, and further restrict a woman's right to choose her access to abortion in ways that are already legal. How do you respond?
Well, it's just the plan just said, I mean, the STUPAC amendment says that no health plan that funds abortion, that provides abortion, shall be funded by the federal government. And what that means is, say, a woman wants to get an abortion because she was raped. Well, my understanding of the STUPAC bill is that that sort of plan cannot be part of the healthcare reform legislation. There is some validity to that argument. The Hyde Amendment bans funding of abortion in the vast majority of cases, except for rape, incest, life of the mother. I'm not sure if fetal deformity is in there or not. So there is some validity to that argument as of now.
Do you think that pro-choice Democrats were trying to find a way around Hyde originally in the way that they presented health care reform?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. I mean, they'll do anything they can to get their point across, just like any other political interest group. It's not just unique to pro-choicers.
How devoted is the president? He says he not one penny of federal funding for abortion and health care reform. How devoted to that position absolutely do you think he is?
He's not that committed to it. He knows the statistics. Look, like I said, politicians are dumb. Most of them are dumb, but they can count. He knows that if he's going to make a huge fight on abortion, that he's likely not to get health care reform legislation. And what would that do to the Democrats in the next year's congressional elections? I mean, it would just depress their base. It would leave the pro-choicers happy, but they would not get anything. So, you know, he's president of the United States. Unless he's going to attack far to the left on a cultural issue, he's going to give that up. So it's just rhetoric right now at this point. You know?
How important is it? This kind of appears that the kind of the overarching necessity of passing health care reform before the midterm elections now has at least permitted Pelosi and the president to say, all right, we're not going to hold the line too hard. Am I misrepresenting in any way?
I'm sorry, I guess I don't quite understand your question.
Willing to compromise on what they would rather have had in this bill, health care reform bill, in order to get the total bill through. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, they want the bill. Oh, they need the health care legislation. I mean, they just do not want a repeat of what happened in 1993 and 94, and that's it. All, there was all this great rhetoric in 93 and 94 about health care reform legislation. I mean, President Clinton had a State of the Union type of speech, like Obama did back in September, and the bill was not even put up for a vote in Congress. And that just depressed turnout for Democrats in 94, and what Republicans gained, 74 seats in the House and many in the Senate. Every Democrat knows in his heart that he does not want to, except for the ones who are just completely, completely devoted to the pro-choice side, they just don't want a repeat of that. That's just it'd be a horror for them. They'd be in the minority, and life in the minority is no fun, so, especially in politics, for all sorts of reasons.
Are there any?
So they want the bill. They want health care reform, and they're going to get some. They're going to get some health care reform. They got too many votes on their side not to.
Are there any pro-life Democrats in the U.S. Senate that could take a stand on federal funding for abortion?
The two most obvious candidates are Ben Nelson of Nebraska, who's been cited in a lot of media reports, Bob Casey from Pennsylvania. But then there's a number of moderate Democrats from the interior parts of the country, from south in Arkansas, the two Arkansas Democrats, Mark Pryor and Lance Lincoln, all the way up to North Dakota, of Kent Conrad, and a number of others. Probably, by rough count, 7 or 8, I would say, Democrats that are likely to oppose federal funding of abortion, indirect or direct. So it's going to be a close vote.
Then with only about 30 seconds, will pro-life Democrats continue to stand strong in the weeks ahead as this moves ahead?
Yes, I think so. They got the numbers on their side, and they also got, we regard truth on our side. So that's a pretty good 1-2 combo.
Mark Strickerts is a journalist in Washington, D.C., author of the book Why the Democrats Are Blue, Secular Liberalism and the Decline of the People's Party. You can purchase Why the Democrats Are Blue under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Mark, thank you for your time.
Thanks again, Todd, anytime.
When we come back from this break, Pastor Ernie Lastman is going to join us. It's been the historic practice of the church since the original institution of the Lord's Supper on the night when Jesus was betrayed. It has been the practice of the apostolic church, of the early church, of the medieval church, of the church of every age, until recently, until the church of about the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries. That's pretty recent. In fact, the practice of open communion is unheard of, I think, except among sects and heretics, in most of the church's history. So why is it that when you utter the phrase closed communion, people have a negative reaction? Is it taught in the Bible? A close boundary of fellowship around the Lord's table? We'll talk closed communion with Pastor Ernie Lastman of Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle right after this.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You're invited this summer to an exploration and study tour of the lives of Martin Luther and J.S. Bach. This tour of Germany will be led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. See where Luther and Bach were born, lived, worked, and died. For more information on a tour of Germany, June 1st through the 10th, call area code 402-643-7444 or send an email to matthew.phillips@cune.edu.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.